Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the broadcast brought to you in part by Liberty Roundtable Live on Loving Liberty Radio Network. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. This is hour two of two. This is the broadcast for August 31st, 2020. Last hour, we had a great hour with Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org. Wishing Ron Paul a happy birthday, focusing on his stance for abolishing the Federal Reserve and anti-war. Good for Ron. What a legacy. We finished up by talking about the coronavirus and how even the CDC now is admitting 94% of the cases of people who die have underlying conditions. Only 6% of the people who die don't. And when you put age into the mix, it's a very, very limited few, and they've literally destroyed the whole economy, not only of the United States, but of the world over this thing. It is a disaster. We finished up by talking about this gentleman, Kyle Rittenhouse. He may not be a role model, but is he still an American hero? People are asking. New changing video. It's a new game-changing video of Kenosha shooting turns tables on accusers. Turns out there was another gunman. And I didn't really have a chance to explain before the end of the hour because we were out of time. And I was going to tell you about that. Kurt launched another point of this discussion. So we got two teasers in last hour, but not the breakdown. The breakdown really quick from the other shooters. Lowell said, hey, the other shooters were against Kyle. And you might think by saying there's a second shooter, there was somebody in defense of Kyle. And I was hesitating because it takes a little bit of time to explain, and I knew we were out of time. Neither is true. It's actually, in the videos, if you look at it from another angle, you see somebody running by shooting a shot into the air, which may have made Kyle panic for sure if he saw that. But I guess it was somebody that was in some other altercation or something that wasn't quite related, but yet interfered, so to speak. But yet, it may have made Kyle take action thinking he needed to be in self-defense mode more than it may have first appeared. That's the summary of the new updated videos with different angles. Now, Kurt, carry on, sir.
Well, Sam, almost, this kind of thing going on in the middle of the night kind of makes you
not want to be out
think
at night,
of the
yeah.
old. Well, yeah, there's that. And then, you know, I mean, if you only have the hoods that are out in the middle of the night, the bad guys start buildings on fire and busting up windows and all that kind of stuff, then, you know, you pretty much, it's like the one old guy that said, hey, I don't want to get in politics because it's nothing but a bunch of hogs in there. And then all you do is just leave it to the hogs, you know. And so, I'm not telling you that this guy, I know everything about him and everything like that, but it takes quite a bit of courage for a 17-year-old to respond in this way, it looks like to me, Sam. So the headline here from Jack Davis, published in, of course, the Western Journal, along with the boys there at WorldNet Daily, says big name legal team steps up to help Kyle Rittenhouse fight Kenosha murder charges. Illinois teen Kyle Rittenhouse will not be alone as he faces murder charges related to a shooting during the chaotic rioting that has ripped through Kenosha, Wisconsin. I will say this before going with the rest of the story. In my opinion, the people who really have blood on their hands are those, city leaders and things that allow this kind of thing to happen. And I'm not telling you that the individuals doing it don't have, culpability, but so many times, I mean, if Sheriff Mack was in charge of that in that town, or Sheriff David A. Clark, that wouldn't have been happening, I guarantee you. But anyway, they go on. The story says, and I've mentioned the guy's name is, the attorney's name is Lynn Wood. Now, if you've been following the news, most folks might have heard of him. He's the same attorney who stepped up and basically has represented this former Covington Catholic High School student, Nick Sandman, in his lawsuits against media outlets that smeared him and his Kentucky classmates in relation to that incident at the 2019 March for Life rally that where they led a very public charge. Anyway, the bottom line is he's got some good help, and I think based on everything I know, if you get a good jury and a good judge, maybe some good will happen here. What do you think?
Dr. Scott Bradley.
Well, good morning to all. How is everyone today? And you've got some interesting topics going, it sounds like.
Are you caught up on this Kyle Rittenhouse changing story as we go?
Well, honestly, I guess one of my aphorisms is distrust until verified. And in today's world of the, I call it the fake news that everybody knows it about, almost every time we get something that comes in the news, you don't just distrust. You find as you do any research that the verification problem becomes infinite because you can't verify what they're telling you. And yes, I do have some things I've been tracking on that. It's interesting to me that in light of the fact that we have a meltdown of proper government and everything like that, I'm predicting that more and more and more and more you're going to see individuals that are basically compelled to protect life, liberty, and property using the Second Amendment. And, of course, the lame brain media will be right in the middle of trying to put the blame on all of that. Now, it's not without risk, because I think those that are seeking to melt down our society are trying to, you know, it's the Marxist view of conflict and trying to stir up faction against faction. But the fact of the matter is, it comes right down to it. Do you just die, or do you try and fix something? I think a lot of Americans, in fact, between January of this year and July of this year, they'd had 12 million checkouts on these background checks for the purchase of firearms. That's a 71% increase in the same period last year. And there's 5 million first-time gun owners. People are starting to see that Second Amendment may be their last line of defense. And honestly, this case with this young man in Kenosha, it sounds to me like he had been there on honorable purposes and terms and was trying to help clean up and offer first aid. They were trying to defend some property. The mob became violent, and he was under attack and in danger of probably losing his life. He touched off a few rounds, and it was to good effect against the bad guys. And by the way, the bad guys that had problems were sex offenders and violent criminals and armed individuals. I mean, it's not like they're these people that everyone assumes, oh my goodness, they're all pure and as the driven snow. But no, what's happened, though, is that the leadership of the nation, so-called, there's not many leaders in the nation anymore, but they've been turning the criminals loose because of the COVID. And so what we've got is a replay of what happened in the French Revolution, where they brought the rabble in to try and stir the pot until they had murdered literally millions of French people. That was their intent.
Yeah, and speaking of that, they even put an effigy of Donald Trump out in front of the White House on the fourth day of the Republican National Convention with a guillotine, a mock similitude of murdering the President of the United States example. And no one's in trouble over that.
No, they're not. And here's the deal, that the parallelisms between all of these revolutions, from the French Revolution forward, is just astounding. They're all tied to an Illuminati-type-based League of Just Men, which turned into the Communist Party and everything. All of these things are all interrelated, and that's just the way it's always worked with these revolutions. In my book, I have a chapter called All Revolutions Are Not Created Equal. Ours is unique among revolutions. And what we're doing is a replay of what they've done so many times from the French Revolution forward. It's basically a scripted output of these things that brings disruption to society, causes a breakdown of everything in society that's always worked, and the hope that they have, and they've been very successful over the centuries that they've done this, is that they'll disrupt society to the point that they're able to overthrow the existing stabilization of society and replace it with their own nonsense. And people, this gun sales stuff, for example, people are seeing that there isn't a thin blue line even for most of them. And you got Democratic candidates, Joe and Kamala, that are calling for gun control things, confiscation, banning firearms, I mean, all those kind of things. People are saying, wait, I got to get mine while I can. By the way, I have a little, a distributorship, if you want to call it that, where I sell ammunition through a specific manufacturer that has high-quality ammunition. This is not a commercial, by the way. But the other day, I had an outdated price sheet, and I had some people that were interested. And so I called the company and said I needed a new price sheet. And they informed me, first time ever this has happened. They said, well, okay, we'll get your price sheet, but here's the deal. If you order today, your delivery will be 1 year or more out. And there's that much interest that people are being just they're getting it while they can, and an order's a year out. Sounds like we got to take a break.
All right, Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a couple of comments about this Kyle case as well. We'll do it all in seconds.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
My brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her, and she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is like really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour and hit into the road barriers. Her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it, and the other three boys were trapped in it, and the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do, just get up here to the hospital. You know, I parked my car and I went inside, and they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed, and I lost it. The other people, so they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know? So I don't want anything to do with it because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, let me take a step back on this Kyle thing. I don't believe he's guilty of murder. I do believe it was a self-defense scenario. I have kind of mixed feelings on this one. He has every right, just like everybody else, to peacefully assemble. The problem is I'm not so sure that's what we're talking about. The rioters and thugs come out, certainly with violence on their minds, under the guise of peacefully assembling. This guy comes out and says, I'm going to defend, and runs around with his gun, which in some ways he has every right to do. I'm not so sure at 17 that he does. Another topic, indeed. But nevertheless, You got an armed good guy, an armed thug bad guys, and they're brought together knowing across the nation that this has gone violent over and over and over and over and over again. At some point, you must expect violence. Not that I like it, but you know what? Going to a peaceful assemblage, knowing that everybody's armed to the teeth and knowing that there's been death and murder and destruction and violence and looting and raping and pillaging and plundering and, okay, night after night after night after night, going, in my opinion, is more than foolish. Okay, more than foolish indeed. And so I guess my question to all of you, I get that he's going to get representation, and I hope so. I hope the truth comes out and an appropriate action is taken, and I believe that he's not guilty of murder. It is self-defense. You know, we're comparing a good teenage guy that supports the blues, supports the police, supports the rule of law, there to try to keep the peace. I get it, but I'm not so sure that it makes sense to be there in the first place. You're asking for trouble. But when you figure all this out, you kind of go, Dr. Scott Bradley, when the founding fathers put in the First Amendment, we have the right to peacefully assemble. I don't know that you got the right to just roll down the streets at 17 years old with your AR-15 saying, hey, man, you know what? When the thugs get out of control, I'm going to pop them back. I'm going to go ahead and help the blue. I don't know that whole narrative is a good look at all on either side. And I guess I'm saying to you late at night, the whole bit, you just kind of go, if I just knowingly walk out in front of a train and say I got the right of way and I die the second later, how smart am I? And I know that sounds extreme and calloused a little bit, but at the same time, I think we have to take personal responsibility for our actions. And in this case, I'm afraid people aren't taking a step back at this. Scott?
You know, I understand what you're saying, and I believe that your concepts are correct and everything like that. I would hope again that the truth prevails, but it certainly isn't found in the media. I have read his attorney's statement on the issue, and it's far different than what is out there. He didn't just mound up and go out with his M16 slung over his shoulder and doing, and it wasn't an M16, by the way. But at any rate, he did not do those kinds of things. He had been there for, according to the report of his attorney, which obviously is going to present this in a favorable light to him, but he had heard that a business property had been largely destroyed. The business owner had asked for people to help.
And that's all factual, every bit of it's true.
Yeah. Now, by the way, Gun Owners of America and others are supporting them. Facebook and GoFundMe of all...
And let me be clear, I'm supporting him as well. Don't misunderstand me, but I am bringing back, in my opinion, a broader point for consideration. The chances of Sam Bushman being out there late at night, 17 years old with a gun, knowing the violence and knowing the trouble, I would rather have, say, an Oath Keepers or a group that could defend that might have greater organization and safety and experience and everything else to the mix. That doesn't change the fact that he is defending himself and he has every right to do so, and I'm defending him, but I am taking a step back, and why? Why am I doing that? Why would I? It seems like, Sam, you might be undercutting the very point you're trying to make by defending him. I don't think so, because here's the deal. It isn't just about this guy and what he did. It's about the future, Scott, and I want my listeners to say, wait a minute, you know what? If I do go out there, let's make sure we go out there with an organized group that can really do the job that was intended, not have a sidetrack, sideshow, sad reality scenario go down, taking it away from the real intent. The poor business owner now feels horrible. The 17-year-old might be living with this for the rest of his life. What I mean is the repercussions. This is not a game.
Oh, it's serious business. And a couple of things. I teach concealed carry permit classes, and I always tell people, you know, whatever you are ready to pull the trigger, you need to have somewhere in the back of your mind, am I willing to go to the jail the rest of my life over this? And I use the example, let's say you're down at SeaWorld with a tank full of sharks in front of you and you drop your $20,000 Rolex in there. Are you going in the tank? The answer is no. You drop your 2-year-old child or grandchild in there. Are you going in the tank? The answer is yes. You will not hesitate for the right reasons. And that's the thing, that logic, reason, and intelligence needs to prevail on this thing. Now, Utah, for example, has ignored a portion of their constitution for 125 years, since 1895. Article 15 of the Utah Constitution requires the state of Utah to organize and arm, equip in every way, the militia. And they define the militia basically as everybody from 18 to 45 who is not disqualified because of mental or physical condition, basically. But Utah has ignored that. And you're talking about an organized militia that is going to be able to step in on things like that. No, almost nobody has one of those. Some of your listeners may remember, and I remember very well, I lived in Watts, in California, for a period of time. During the 1960s, there were some big, bad riots down there, similar to what we're experiencing all across the nation today. A good friend of mine had a business there. It was his whole entire life was wrapped up in the business. Everything was burning down there. And he decided he better go down there and make sure that his business had the best protection it could, because the thin blue line wasn't there. Nobody was taking care of his business. And it's interesting, as he was going through the checkpoints to get into his business, you know, through along the streets there, he had a loaded, cocked and locked sidearm in the seat next to him, and the police officer looks in and says, is that loaded? And he said, certainly. The officer said, can I see it? And he handed it to the officer. He looked at it. It was cocked and locked. And the officer handed it back to him and says, you ought to put it on safety if you're going to carry it that way, and gave it back to him. The police knew there was no protection for what he was trying to do for his place. And they let him through. And that's kind of, in some situations, what it's like. Now, this 17-year-old had injected himself into something that maybe it wasn't his business. But I'm very concerned that this conflict things that are trying to happen from the top and the bottom, all of this, we're going to fall into something, the disruption on the streets, all of the, I mean, bloodshed, ultimately. I mean, it's a really, really thin line that we've got to go there. But the states currently, today, are not, and the communities are not providing what's needful. Some individuals, I'm confident, are going to go in and say, I've got to protect my property.
And I completely agree, and I understand that, and I have respect for that, too. That's why I'm still defending Kyle. I agree with gun owners, and I agree with these attorney groups, and I agree with the general point, and I don't think he should be experiencing charges of murder for sure. The narrative is all wrong. There's no doubt about that. The truth isn't coming out about this. At the same time, though, I look at future realities, future theaters of discussion. And I want listeners and people to be very careful about where they go and what they do, because when are you egging it on? When are you escalating it beyond the ability to back away? When are you, and we need to make sure we're not the guys doing that, even with our best intentions. Is property worth it? In your example, no. Are people worth it? In your example, yes. And I agree with that point. We need to be very, very, very careful that we don't escalate or agitate or whatever the words are. The right to peacefully assemble does not include the right to ante up and agitate and stake the bets higher. Anyway, I'm bringing this up, I hope, for a valid reason. I don't mean to undermine the reality of the situation here in any way. Kurt, do you want to come in on this?
Well, I don't know what else, not much to add. I would simply say this, that if you're talking about a 17-year-old, you know, we've all been 17 once. I don't think we used the same kind of, what would you say, reasoning and that kind of thing at 17 as we maybe hopefully exhibit now. Now I'm not saying that I know everything about this young man, but all I'm saying is, you know, the chances are good he wasn't, you know, understanding the whole weight of the situation. But I will say this, it's apparently, you know, there's some bad guys out there, and he's feeling like at least that he had a duty to do that, and not even at 17. I don't know what the legal entry range is for the guys in the military, but I think it's 18, and they're called to basically go into some pretty rough situations. And I know that I'm glad he survived it, and I hope he gets good representation, and I hope maybe more people wake up to the fact that we shouldn't just leave it to the 17-year-olds. We ought to get more people with calm heads, like you were talking about, the Oath Keepers, etc.
Wrong place, wrong time, or right place, right time, huh?
your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler, is sending out a strong warning to protesters.
We have to all stop the violence.
He sent out the message after protesters clashed on Saturday night. Supporters of President Trump and left-wing groups erupted in violence, resulting in one death.
For those of you saying that you plan to come to Portland to seek retribution, I'm calling on you to stay away.
Acting Homeland Security Chief Chad Wolf.
We've been asking Portland to do their job really for over 3 months now. What you see in Portland is an environment. They foster an environment of this lawlessness and chaos. We've been asking the governor and others to send in the National Guard to address the violence so that you don't have dueling demonstrations. You don't have this violence.
Chad Wolf was on CBS's Face the Nation.
Can the daily recommended servings of fruits and vegetables fit into just 6 capsules? Yes. We start by sourcing organically grown whole fruits and vegetables. We ensure they are picked at peak ripeness. All of our produce is third-party tested for pesticides, heavy metals, bad bacteria, and nutrients. They are then washed, cut, and put through an advanced vacuum cold process, which removes the water using pressure. This maximizes the nutritional value while preserving the color, smell, and taste of the fruit or vegetable. The freeze-dried food is then ground into a fine powder without adding any additives, fillers, or extracts. These powdered foods are then mixed in our proprietary blends and encapsulated, locking out air and moisture. The capsules are then bottled and shipped directly to our customers. Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
The director of National Intelligence, John Radcliffe, says he's changing the way he's informing Congress of foreign threats before the November election.
What we won't be doing is all member briefings to all members of the House and all members of the Senate. We've tried that, and the information hasn't been protected.
Radcliffe was on Fox News Sunday Morning Futures. Radcliffe said he would no longer give in-person briefings about election security and foreign election interference to the House and Senate Select Committees on Intelligence. Senator Amy Klobuchar reacting on ABC's This Week.
I think the House is going to have to subpoena the Director of Intelligence in order to get information, which is crazy. We are just a few months out of a major election, and I have already experienced this White House blocking my bipartisan election security bill, which would have helped us years ago to beef up our efforts.
The committees still have access to written, finished intelligence reports. You're listening.
All right, switching gears slightly, but the same general topic, violence in our land. I believe it's related directly to the immorality of the people. Of course, nobody else wants to talk about that but me, you know, and a few of my friends. Dr. Scott Bradley and Kurt Crosby certainly agree with that and want to speak out about that boldly, nobly, and independently as well, but the very few in the media are willing to highlight that reality check. And the only answer really to back away from the violence and the destruction of property and life and everything else is to turn to God and become a moral people and repent. But I digress slightly, except to say this. You know, I pray a big-name legal team steps up to help Kyle Rittenhouse. I don't believe he's a murderer at all. I believe he had his character compared to the other folks that are out there and stuff like that. I think he was truly trying to help. And I agree with Kurt that, you know what, at 17, it may be hard to assess the situation. I don't know that I'd be able to assess it at 17, even as well as this gentleman did. So Kurt's right on that point. And he's also right that we have very young people standing up for the sacred cause of liberty just months away from how old this guy is now already. It's a good point, too. All I'm saying is it seems like we need to be very careful that we don't take the fall and make it worse with our best intentions. That's all I'm kind of saying. And I think this poor gentleman, this 17-year-old, even if he's in the right, even if he gets a legal team that gets him off, he's going to have to live with the fact that he shot people for the rest of his life. That is not a light matter. The poor guy, even if he's right, he'll second-guess himself. He'll wonder. I hope that he can handle the weight of that split-second decision. that I think a boy of his age should not be required to make. I get the necessity sometimes. I understand it. But I'm telling you, it's a heavy weight. And so is war. And speaking of so is war, it turns out now Joe Biden is literally endorsed by the Chinese Communist Party. Stephen Mosher writes the headline, and he basically says he should know. He's been involved in working with the Chinese and defending us against the communist Chinese for decades. Population Research Institute is his organization, POP.org. He wrote a book called Bully of Asia, Why China's Dream is a New Threat to the World Order. And he's not talking about the New World Order. He's just saying to the order of society and this kind of stuff. But he basically says Joe Biden is flat out publicly endorsed by the Chinese Communist Party. And you think about that and you go, okay, wait a minute. Barack Obama was a flat out communist. We don't really even know who that guy was. He was 8 years commander in chief and we still don't know his origins. Who is this guy? Who are his parents? Etc. Down the line, what on earth? And you can ignore the birth certificate and mock birthers if you want, but what about his fraudulent Social Security number? What about, and we go on and on, who is this guy? He was commander-in-chief of the free world for 8 years, and we don't know who this guy was. Now you have Kamala Harris, literally a well-known avowed communist as well, extreme as all get out. You got Joe Biden, half unable to think for himself for whatever reasons, and then you got him surrounded by folks like Hillary Clinton, giving Biden instructions on what to do next in the campaign. You got Kamala Harris. You got Bernie Sanders helping to draft the Democratic national documents right now for the future. And you go, wait a minute. The communists are beyond at our door, Dr. Bradley.
You know, it's interesting that 2016 election had like almost 4 years now. Russian collusion, collusion, collusion. It really should have been pointed the other direction, and we know very absolutely for a fact the Hillary Clinton connection to the to Russia and their funding and their all of their giveaways of strategic material to the Russians and all of those kinds of things. It's a distraction pointing the finger in the other direction. But so here we've had 4 years of Russian collusion stuff. I wonder if we're going to get sometime about Chinese collusion kind of stuff. I mean, the top ranks of the people that are running on the Democrat Party absolutely are tied into the group that has been seeking literally since the 1800s to capture this plum called the United States into their ranks. And if you go back and read, for example, the preface that Engels wrote for the Communist Manifesto back in the 1800s, they mentioned the United States. Well, California is mentioned once, I think, in that, but that was in the United States. I'm not sure it is still. But the fact of the matter is that that they've had their sights on the United States for 150 years. And the United States is the plum. In fact, I've spent time lately with quite a number of people, I mean, not quite a number, but a few, that have lost their country to the ANC, for example, the African National Congress, the communist-led organization that now currently has taken over a vast portion of Africa. These people talk to me. They're here in the States, and they're saying, you guys have got to do something. We'll help you. We lost our country. We have basically given away everything. The United States is the last hope for anything in the world maintaining liberty. And there's a concerted effort right now to get rid of it. And again, it's from the top and the bottom. We have the thugs in the streets burning things down, and we have the thugs in the high offices and running for office that are attempting to sell the country out. It really is a kind of a pincher movement, you know, with we're getting caught in the squeeze in the middle. And so it's very highly organized. It's very cleverly disguised. It's very powerfully promoted. And if Americans don't wake up and turn their heads around, we are going to be on the outside looking in, and our grandkids are going to say, what did you guys do? Well, I mean, what were you doing?
But when we talk about waking up, though, marching into the streets late at night into a riot zone with an AR-15, I don't know that that's the answer, even though it was self-defense, and even though he was hoping to defend some private property. It's a small-scale skirmish on the big stage of the loss of liberty. I think we need greater measures. Preaching the word of God is going to do more than the sword, Dr. Bradley.
Well, indeed. And honestly, the moral nature of the nation is truly the the basis of what we're going to have. And in fact, the Founding Fathers spoke of that often. You go back to Locke, even, who was one of their mentors, if you will, and he talked about the single word description of a republic was virtue. And he said that when particularly the women, and then he focused that on, lose their virtue, they become sexually engaged, incontinent, if you will. That's how he tries that, where they're really uncontrolled in that manner. He said, you're going to lose your constitution, and there's a lot of that going on in the country. And George Washington, when he, in his first inaugural address, he talked about public and private virtue was going to be the basis of what they tried to do in their administration. Religion and morality are necessary in order to maintain the nation. He said that in his farewell address. John Adams said that only a religious and a moral people can be governed by the Constitution. There are so many evidences that that was the perspective. And what we have done today is, I just wrote a paper over the weekend called, it's The Age of the Anti-Hero. And that's what America has now. You look at the leadership of the nation and their immoral character. You look at the celebrities that they play up. You look at the entertainment. You look at the music. You look at the news media. You look at, virtually everything in the nation is at risk because we've lost our bearings in terms of our moral basis. And we hold up as heroes, not only to the young people, but also many so-called adults that haven't seemed to have got their head straightened around yet as to what's really important, are basically looking to individuals that are spiritual derelicts. We're in trouble. And, I don't know how far Sodom and Gomorrah were beyond where we are now. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there are good people. So many of your listeners are probably saying, holy cow, I don't do those kinds of things. And God bless them, I say, for all of their goodness. But there's a huge movement in this nation today to undermine the moral character of everybody and anybody. And they teach, for example, in our home state of Utah, they teach sex education to kindergartners. California has things you can't even talk about on the radio in an audience of the FCC would probably come down on you. You can't say it in mixed company, what's going on. And it's like the absurdity of what is being foisted upon our nation by an education system and a media system and a political system. It seems like they're all in cahoots. And you say, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, if it's all coming out, somehow it didn't just happen by serendipity.
Let's talk about the conspiracy theorist in us, ladies and gentlemen. So I told you that the Communist Party of China backs Joe Biden, right? Joe Biden is endorsed by the Chinese Communist Party. But listen to this. Bob Avakian, he's the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party USA, RCP USA, if you will, has now endorsed Joe Biden for president, ladies and gentlemen. All right? So the Communist Party literally backing Joe Biden now, blatantly, openly, in America. And you say, who's reporting this? Well, how about the Washington Times? How about Communists approved Joe Biden for president. Washington Times, we've got to stop Trump, they say. All right, this is getting a little insane. Revolutionary Communist Party leader backs Biden. All right. The Communist Party of America endorses Joe Biden. Wow. Let's talk about it in seconds.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, so Fox News, Washington Times, everybody reporting that, you know what, the Communist Party, whether it be the Chinese Communist Party or Communist Party USA, literally the commies are backing Joe. Bob Avakian, chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party USA, has endorsed Joe Biden for president. So my headline for this, Dr. Bradley, just say no to Commie Joe. Do you want to respond? Am I off the rails on this? This is nuts on parade, sir. When has it been so in your face, flat out blatant, sir?
Indeed. In fact, during the break with your lead-in story on this thing, I did what I typed in to search on was communist endorsement Biden. And there's tons of these are media outlets that have been reporting this. I mean, this should be something that any thinking American can say, well, Wait a minute. He says he's not a communist, and I'm certainly not a communist, but I'm certainly not in. If these guys are for him, they must somehow have communist ties. I mean, people ought to be able to connect the dots on this.
But even if he doesn't, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, then he should jettison them, and he should speak out against the endorsement and say, hold on, whoa, wait a minute. I don't support the Chinese communist endorsements nor the Communist Party USA endorsements of my campaign whatsoever. I'm not a communist. I stand against communism at all costs. This is a godless attempt to overthrow our nation. We're not going to allow it. Okay, he needs to speak out, or by his silence, he becomes part of it.
He does, indeed. And in fact, when I've run for office before, there were individuals and organizations that offered to endorse me. And even people that some of your listeners might even consider to be quote-unquote conservative organizations that had at their basis some philosophies that ultimately would destroy the nation. And in every instance, I rejected their endorsement because it is not some, it's, you know, you say, I can't even give the image or the appear to go along with this, because in spite of the fact there's endorsements, it means that you somehow have accepted and become part of their stable of people that will do their bidding. And you've got to overtly reject those kinds of things. And it's like, well, in spite of the fact you may say you agree with me on this, I cannot agree with your basic premise. And there was one particularly prominent, quote-unquote, conservative organization that offered some very high level of support, including finances, that I rejected outright, because there is no way I'm going to perform, according to their plans, something that will ultimately destroy the nation. Well, you just can't do it. And Biden's got to do this now. He's got to say, I'm out of here, baby. Of course, they'd have to reject Bernie and Kamala. And I mean, wait a minute. Hillary, I mean, the basis of these of everything is tied so much to the communist plan of subverting the United States. The whole senior leadership is tied into this. And it's going to be hard for him to
he won't do it. But again, then you got to just, if he's not going to reject it, if he's not going to flat out you know, highlight the reality that is completely against it, then we got to have the slogan, just say no to Commie Joe. What do you say, Kurt?
Well, Sam, you're a master at the, you know, at the slogans, and I think it's very well fitting. If the shoe fits, wear it, as they say.
Yeah, I don't mean to be flippant about this or kind of mock, but Dr. Bradley, people need to understand when you have violence in the streets, when you have the thugs running free and this poor 17-year-old kid up on murder charges, you have literally Kamala Harris backing and promoting the rioters. She's got communist ties and leanings. Bernie Sanders is an avowed communist. Joe Biden now being endorsed by the communists. We have got to get the word out. And the only, I don't mean to be flippant about this, but the only way I know is to create a slogan like that that can go far and wide. Just say no to Commie Joe. Who are you going to vote for president, Dr. Bradley?
Well, neither of the two major players, but I can't find anybody at this point.
Well, so if you can't find anybody, you have three choices. You sit home, or you vote for Donald Trump, or you vote for Joe Biden, right?
I've historically written people in, but that's a futile attempt. But the fact of the matter is, our vote is sacred, and it's one of those things. I mean, think for a minute with me. Would you have gone along with and supported Joe Stalin or Adolf Hitler?
Well, voting States for Joe's almost Joe. The same now, then, right?
No, they're more than Joe is arguably probably the biggest mass murderer in the history of the world up to that point. I think Mao may have exceeded him, but the fact of the matter is, the United States threw in with Joe, and what did we come? What came out of that? I mean, if you look at Operation Keelhaul, for example, how we despicably turned back to Joe Stalin millions of slaves that had escaped into our arms, if you will, in the Western Front, and we turned them back in. I mean, Eisenhower and Marshall were right at the middle of that. The point of a bayonet, the point of a rifle, the tanks, whatever, we sent 5 million people back to slavery. And I guess it's kind of, that's how I feel about this, is that those that we lend our support to, we have a responsibility for our vote. And I'm just uncomfortable with it. I must say that if you compare the two campaigns for the last couple of weeks that we had, the Democrats were dour and they didn't have any spirit or any kind of thing that brought in a feeling of restoral or anything like that. They were angry and mad and going to throw it all out, and they never once spoke against the despicable things that are going on throughout the rioting. But the Republicans brought a lot bigger feeling of hope. There was a feeling of, you know, America really has something worth saving and so on. I think that the Trump's organization with the campaign that went on, they really solidified the support of their base, people that are looking for hope and everything. I just can't imagine how the Democrats could even think they could possibly have a victory in November. But the polls keep trying to spin it otherwise. But so if you look at the two different, there was a night and day difference between the Republicans and the Democrats in terms of the message that they conveyed. But I'll tell you, Trump's been president for almost 4 years now. And there's still a long ways to go to have anything measure up to what it is. There's been a lot of promises, and I'd sure like to see some fulfillment of that. And it's been 4 years, and a lot of the times I'm still waiting for something good to happen. You know,
believe it or not, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump.
Well,
and let me tell you why. I agree my vote's sacred, and I agree Donald's certainly not of the moral character that I would like to see to be my president. And if I really had a real third-party choice to vote for, to where I feel like my vote could be counted, I would do it, but there isn't one that I know of, unless Dr. Scott Bradley's going to run.
I agree with you. There's no... I have not seen a valid, principled candidate be brought forth by
now,
anybody.
If there becomes one, then I'll vote for them. But if there's not one, if there's not a Dr. Scott Bradley, or, you know, Daryl Castle ticket like I endorsed and voted for last time, I'm going to vote for President Trump. And the reason that I am is because as far afield as he is on so many topics, and as immoral as he's been in the past, the fact that he's trending towards Christian behavior, the fact that he's promoted less war to some degree, not enough, because he's surrounded by war hawks, but the fact that he's voted for pro-life and supported pro-life really in so many ways, and the fact that he has promoted prayer in so many ways, tells me it's the best choice I can make at this juncture. Because if I write in a candidate, I'm just making a political statement, throwing my vote away. If I sit at home, I'm not doing my duty. So out of the choices that I'm given, it's the most moral choice I can make. It's a pro-life vote. It's a pro-prayer vote, sir.
Well, you know, and I don't want to dissuade you from your choice on Donald Trump. I think there's a lot of really good and honorable people that feel that way about it. But, you know, I have these discussions often with people where they say, you've got to vote for somebody. And if you've got dog feces on the table in your smorgasbord, and you say you've got to eat something, sometimes I get the feeling that the mentality in America is we have to eat whatever we're fed. And we've been fed for so long, this COVID thing, for example, what we've been fed for this so long has destroyed everything, liberty, economy, personal success, everything. And it's been those that have been feeding it to us that are currently in charge. And it's like we've got to eat what we're served. And I keep thinking, I guess I'll go hungry. That's kind of how I feel about it.
And I completely agree with your view. And if you hadn't put together such a pro-life and pro-prayer stance, I would agree with you. But he has, yeah. And we got to give him enough credit for that and say, you know, not counting the Federal Reserve, I think pro-life is the most important issue of our day, bar none. And he's done more than any other president, including Reagan by far, on this front. And I got to give at least credit where credit's due. Is it enough? Far from. But is it the right stance? Absolutely. And if we could pray for our nation and have pro-life, I think there's a prayer for a turnaround.
Well, we do have, as individuals, it's where it really begins, as individually, and in our families, in our congregations, and heaven knows that our congregations have been heavily burdened by the oppressive things that those in power currently today, including Donald Trump, have put in place in our destruction of our religious liberties, our ability to even gather, our ability to have peaceful protest, where those that have a valid concern about a lot of things, I'm not talking about the rioters in the streets, but the idea of gathering to worship God, we've been...
Yeah, question is, what has President done? He could stand up taller, but he hasn't taken away your religious freedom like others have. He's shown tremendous restraint.
He's recommended gatherings that have constrained that, and it's been handed down to the lowest level. We have mayors in our community that are, basically shutting everything down that way. It's
right, we have mayors,
absurd.
But the question is Donald for that or against that? And so far, Donald hasn't mandated things that Joe Biden has sworn he'd mandate right out of the gate.
Well, the president does not have authority to mandate anything.
That's right, and so he hasn't, and he's shown restraint, though, is my point. He could do it like Joe Biden and ignore the Constitution, but he's actually shown some restraint here. I'm just disappointed in some of our local and state leaders that if they would stand up, we wouldn't have this problem. And just imagine how Trump could behave if he had some actual backing that he's not getting from anybody else. So I'm not telling you Trump's perfect. I am saying, though, in many ways, he's done the right things. And sometimes even a bad specimen, the Lord can use. And I pray that
when I saw him, in the Oval Office with all those teachers and students, and basically telling people that they could pray in the classroom, I thought, man, I have in my whole lifetime I've never seen this kind of thing happen. Now I admit that the media has not promoted this kind of thing, but like Sam, I just got to say, look. I've never seen a president that has kept his promises any better or anywhere close to the way President Trump has. And that's the reason I have chosen to do what I've done, and that is promote him, and I'll vote for him. And I mean, I even sell hats.
If there was another
Mega
choice, I would think different. But there's not even the good guys aren't even putting together the Libertarian Party, the Constitution Party, the Independent American Party. I don't see anybody even putting up a candidate that I can vote for. So
no,
I'm left without a choice, is the problem.
They have definitely fallen short.
All right, Dr. Scott Bradley needs to run.
We're in a sad situation in America when that's the kind of choices we've got.
We need a pro-life stance, and we need prayer more than anything in our nation, in my humble opinion, along with people who turn to God and repent. For Dr. Scott Bradley, Kirk Crosby, Sam Bushman, we declare this nation shall endure.